Hello, everybody. It is Carrie with the Unicorn Company Podcast. So today I want to talk about the Lost Battle Mechs from Error Report 2750. So for those of you who don't know, there was a series of source books that was released, which were error reports. And these covered various eras in the timeline. Included in that were 2750. I also know that 3145, I believe, was one of them that was covered. While the latter one does not have any missing mechs, as it were, the 2750 one has a few that you could categorize as missing mechs because there's descriptions, very, very well detailed descriptions on how to convert them over from base chassis to like the Star League variant or the Davian or the Karita variant that was in use, but there's never been a record sheet produced for them. And oddly enough, they do have entries in the Master Unit list, making them usable in Alpha Strike, but not in Battletech, which makes them kind of odd because they are unique to one of the two game systems. And I feel like Battletech kind of loses out on that because these are actually really interesting and really good designs. So I guess you could say technically this entire episode is a tech corner or tech talk. I don't call it a tech corner. Anyway, so getting into it, I want to start with the House Karita upgrades. These are from a scenario that involves the death of Joseph Davian, who was the first prince of the Federated Suns at the time during the Star League. And I want to say it was the 5th Benjamin Regulars who faced him. And these are some of the mechs that the Karita forces had that were upgraded from your standard designs which were available at the time. The first of these is the Phoenix Hawk 1KK, and this is a 45-ton battle mech. You know the Phoenix Hawk or are familiar with it. It carries 9.5 tons of standard armor, and for weapons, it has an ER large laser, 2 medium pulse lasers, and a small laser instead of the standard medium, 2 mediums and a large laser. Now, what's also interesting, it does have double heat sinks, and it doesn't jump. So, where you would normally want to use pulse lasers on a jumping machine, simply for that advantage, it's just not something that it needs. And it actually makes it a very accurate brawler. Very, very good brawler for a medium mech. And, you know, compared to the 1K, it's incredibly good. The next one that I want to look at is going to be the Karita version of the Battlemaster 1G, I believe. I stand corrected. It's actually the Warhammer. It's a 6RK variant, and this is based off the regular 6R. This machine, we are looking at pretty much a 6R that has had a XL engine thrown in for the standard, and they've pushed the speed on it up to 5.8. They've also increased the armor value. It now has 13 tons of standard armor. And the loadout is pretty standard for a Warhammer. It's dual PPCs, 2 medium lasers, 2 small lasers, 2 machine guns, an SRM-6 rack, and it also has double heat sinks. So the heat dissipation on this is excellent when you look at it compared to the standard 6R, and is kind of up there with the Royal variants as far as its hitting power. So the next one that House Karita had is going to be a Stalker. It's a Stalker 3FK, if I recall correct. Give me 1 second and I'll pull it up. So the 3FK is kind of an interesting beast. It goes to double heat sinks, 18 of them in fact, and it's still a heat hog if you use it wrong. But what they've essentially done here is swapped out, I believe it was SRM-6s for Streak SRM-2s, and the LRM-10s have, LRM-10s have had Artemis IV fire control added to them. So it's made the missile weapons all that more powerful. Now, this one's interesting in that in order to get everything to work correctly, you have to move, when you swap out the 6s for the 2s on the SRMs, you have to swap 2 of those Streak 2s into the center torso, and you have to put a ton of ammo for the SRMs in each leg, thus allowing you to have enough criticals to actually put all the heat sinks in that it calls for. It It's a decent platform. It's still a long range, medium range, short range, varied range engagement mech. It doesn't do anything at one specific range. It changes out weapons as it closes. But the fact that this has so many different weapons, so many double heat sinks to soak up critical hits, it's just really scary, actually. And I think the armor stayed the same. Not much else changed, but it was a slight upgrade, and it's an upgrade that does increase the damage output and the heat efficiency of the mech a great deal. So the next one we have is going to be a couple of the Davian variants, I believe. Actually, no, I take that back. There's a Victor that the Karita Commander has. Now, in the scenario, it gives you the specification of the Stalker with the additional K after it and everything. For the Karita Commander, it doesn't do that. It just says he's in a Victor 9B that's been modified. And he's the 5th Benjamin Regulars Commander. Now, I don't remember the exact specs on a standard Victor, but on this one, it's not a lot that's been done. So it has 10 double heat sinks, so they swapped out the singles for doubles on the 9B. And the main weapon, the autocannon 20, has been lowered to an autocannon 10, but that also allows the left arm to carry a 3 brace of medium pulse lasers. So it makes it into a better, more accurate short-range dueler, but it takes away that heavy hit from the AC-20. You're trading that out for an AC-10, but it also has 20 rounds of ammunition, and it has an SRM-4 in the left torso. Overall, it's a decent mech. I wouldn't say it is the end-all be-all of what you could do with the Victor for the time period, but it's really good. So I believe now, I'm going to check real quick. Yes, we're going to be getting into the Davian mechs, so let me go ahead and get those opened up. So what we're going to be looking at here is, first, I want to go ahead and look at a few of the mechs before we get to Joseph Davian's Hammer Hands. So I want to start with the Dervish. This is the Dervish 6MD, and they've given it an XL engine. It still has 12 single heat sinks, so it's not great on the heat scale, because you're looking at a mech that can put out 25 heat and has a dissipation of 12. But it's had its missile racks upgraded to LRM-15s on the torsos. It has SRM-2s on the arms with medium lasers. It's 5 jump jets. And it has case on the right torso, and all the LRM-15 ammo is in that right torso. So yes, it can still go out due to a side torso, but it's way more, in campaign play, it's something that can be salvaged way easier. So after that, we have the Thunderbolt 5SD. Now, this is an interesting one because it puts a very Davian bent on the Thunderbolt. Now, as we all know, the Thunderbolt is a missile rack, an arm gun, some supporting weapons in the chest, decent speed depending on aero. It's either like a 4.6 or a 5.8. This one, House Davian kind of did a Davian thing to it. So they went ahead, upgraded it to double heat sinks. It has 12 double heat sinks. And it has, in the right arm, a large pulse laser. It removes the machine guns in the left arm, which I replaced with a medium laser, because that's what it says. It says it adds a medium laser. It doesn't say where, but you remove the machine guns from the left arm. So it has a medium laser in the left arm. In the left torso, you have 3 medium lasers. In the right torso, you have an Ultra AC-5 in place of the LRM-15. And this is interesting because it's feels to me like a very Davian thing to do. This also feels like it would be an interesting conversion to build, especially because you would have to replace that missile rack with a shoulder gun, which is kind of like what you get from like a Shadowhawk. So it's almost like a slightly heavier Shadowhawk in a way, except it just doesn't jump. And it's not a Shadowhawk, but it's a Davian Thunderbolt. I don't think I've seen this done since. I know they threw the rack, the rotary autocannon on the right arm on one of the versions of the Thunderbolt on the 9 NAIS. But you don't see any of their House Davian variants that rip out the missile launcher and throw an autocannon up there as if they're just making a heavy-duty version of the Shadowhawk. So the next one we have here is going to be the Battlemaster BLR-1GD, the Davian modified Battlemaster, which is surprising the first prince doesn't pilot. He has a hammer hands, and we'll cover that in a minute. So what they've done here is I'm probably using actually too much, and I apologize. But what they've done here is they've taken the Battlemaster, the 1G, swapped it out with double heat sinks, and it has 16 of them. It retains the standard engine, standard armor. It's almost a bone stock Battlemaster other than the double heat sinks. But they also replaced the machine guns and the machine gun ammo with four forward facing medium pulse lasers in the torsos, which makes up for the minimum range on the PPC, because usually what you want to do with the Battlemaster is you want to try to get in close, out of the range of that heavy hitting PPC, get in there where you can slug it out with it if you're a heavy mech. If you're light, then yeah, you just don't want to go there. But they've actually made a pretty decent upgrade. Not a lot of stuff you have to change to it. It's not like swapping out an engine like the one mech that we saw earlier, but it's pretty good. I have to say I do like it, but not as much as the Battlemaster we're going to look at in a little bit here. Before we even get there though, what we're going to look at next is the Hammer Hands HMH 3D Joseph Davian variant. This was the one piloted by Joseph Davian when he was killed. It removes the jump jets, stays with single heat sinks. I mean, yeah, the first prince doesn't need double heat sinks. Why would he need that? It upgrades the LB-10Xs to, or sorry, the AC-10s to LB-10Xs with 2 tons of ammo each. Still has the SRM-6. It also takes whatever's left over in tonnage and brings the total tonnage, total armor tonnage to 13.5 tons, giving it way better protection than your standard hammer hands. And of course, the LB-10Xs, two of them. Okay, so I compare this to because it only moves 3.5. So I compare it sort of like to the Blackjack Omni with the twin LB-10Xs, except it's not nearly as fragile. So you can sit there and sandblast your opponent all day looking for lucky shots on like the head or, you know, a double one for the center torso critical. And yeah, I mean, this thing, it's a great cleanup mech. It's a great street sweeper, as it were. As far as a frontline machine, I'm not as convinced. Yeah, the first prince, he was Davian. They apparently have their autocannon fetish, and I get it. But why? Yeah, I mean, they had a perfectly good Battlemaster they made a variant of, and nope, let's not use that. Let's put him in this thing. But yeah, I mean, that's just how things work. So next we're going to get into the Star League mechs, and these are featured in the scenarios for the Martial Olympiad, which the Martial Olympiad, you may or may not know, depending on how much lore you're into, how much of the background of Battletech that you know. It was essentially the Olympics for the military, hence the name. And each house would send a delegation, they'd go have their big thing, and then whoever won, you know, got medals, and just like the Olympics, only with guns. Well, the triathlon has guns, I believe. I can't remember. Anyway, so the first one we have here is the Wyvern WVE-5N SL, which it's an upgraded 5N Wyvern. Not a lot has been done, but enough has been done to make it a little bit more effective. And here's essentially what was done. I'm going to try not to overuse that, but here's what was done. They swapped out the large laser with an ER large laser and the SRM-6 with 3-streak SRM-2s. Other than that, there's no real changes. It makes it conserve ammunition a bit better, but I don't know if the ER large laser was really the best choice for this design. Personally, I would have probably figured out a way to swap out the large laser with a large pulse laser, even if it meant Actually, yeah, swap it out with a large pulse laser, rip out the LRM-10, throw another short-range missile rack in there with that, and you're good to go. Because it's a city fighter, and the odd thing about the Wyvern, and all the variants of the Wyvern that I can recall off the top of my head, they're all built for long-range engagement, but they're built to fight inside of an urban environment, which doesn't allow you to take advantage of these LRM, you know, the LRMs or the ER large laser. They're just not weapons that are conducive to that kind of environment. The next one we have here is probably my favorite of all of them, and it's because I have a thing for the high-end mediums, low-end heavies. If you ever play against me in Battletech or Alpha Strike, I'm a big cavalry fan. I like my 5.10s, I like my 6.12 mechs, or essentially my 10-inch or my 12-inch movement. Anyway. But I'm a really big fan of cavalry mechs. The Crab is a cavalry mech. The 27B, which is the Royal version, is awesome. But there's a version that I like even better, and there's two reasons I like it. One, it's sort of a... What do you need if you're in heavily built up terrain with a Crab? Like, the Crab is great if you are fighting in hills or, you know, patchy forests, stuff like that, stuff where you have room to maneuver, room to use the long range weapons that it comes with. But what about those situations where you're in like mountains or you're in like a city and you're stuck with a Crab? Well, the 27SL is the answer to that. And the 27SL swaps out the standard engine for an XL, which, yes, it lowers the survivability of the Crab. Totally give you that. But it rips out all the laser weapons and throws two large pulse lasers in, one in each arm, a medium laser in the head in place of a small laser, and a medium pulse laser in the center torso in place of the medium laser. It has 14 double heat sinks, can manage its heat very well. It's a 585 mech. This is, not only is it a urban combat Crab, which is going to be a better urban fighter than the Wyvern, which we just talked about, but it's also a proto Nova when you think about it. This is, and yes, it came out after the Nova was ever released, but it sort of fills in that little gap of where did the clans get the Nova idea? Where did they get this little hoppy duelists idea from? And if you look at the 27SL, this is the proto Nova. This is what the clans probably would have looked at and said, you know, I've been thinking about making this thing that is going to irritate my opponent because I'm going to be able to hop all over the place like a little monster, and they're going to want to pull their hair out. Let's go ahead and update this thing. And I think this is where the Nova gets its start. I think this design right here, this variant of the Crab, the 27SL, even though it's retconning, I think it's a perfect retcon. It's a, hey, look, here's where it came from. Which we see with a lot of the stuff that they've put out recently with the primitives and stuff like that. But this is almost like a low-key primitive for the Nova. So if the 27SL Crab is the Proto Nova, the Lancelot 2501SL is sort of like the little Crab's big brother. They've ripped out the PPC, ripped out the large lasers, swapped them all out with extended range large lasers, and given it double heat sinks. It can build up to 41 heat, but it dissipates 32. And it's a pattern firing mech. You fire 3-2, 3-2, 3-2. No ammunition to speak of. It does have an XL engine, but it also moves 6-9, and it's a 70-ton mech. No, 60-ton mech. So this is once again in that low end, the low heavy, high medium bracket where I have that weird thing. And quite frankly, yeah, it's under armored. It's like 8.5 tons of armor, but you have to. You almost have to core one of the torsos to drop this thing. And even if you rip off both the arms, it still has an ER large laser, a medium laser, and it is even more heat efficient than when you started killing it. So, it's, once again, it's a cavalry mech. It's a fun cavalry mech, and quite frankly, I really would be happy to have this in a Star League force, or, yeah, probably just Star League force, because all the SL variants go extinct after the Star League era, unsurprisingly and sadly. So, moving on, though, I mentioned a Battlemaster that was better than the Davian variant that they made. And this is, once again, I want to feel like this is almost a retcon and an Easter egg at the same time. For those of you who know, there's a book called Natural Selection, and it follows the what happens with a character called the Red Corsair, who has a customized Battlemaster that has two ERPPCs and is fully decked out in clan equipment. And of course, it's neat because, wow, two ERPPC Battlemaster, but at the same time, it's not, you know, there's no precedent, I don't believe, for the dual-wielding PPCs. I don't think the Royal variants have it, and it just, you know, it's something that nobody ever thought about before, really, and they're like, wow, this is awesome. And there's nothing that predates it that would make you think this is a thing that would really, you know, that anyone would have thought of. But then we have the BLR-1GHE Hellslinger Battlemaster. And this thing is awesome. So, what you've got is a Battlemaster 1G that has had double heat sinks added. 16 double heat sinks. Its armor has been pushed up to 13 tons. It has the machine guns removed. It has two PPCs, one in each arm, so it's like a bigger Warhammer, or even a bigger Thug, because it has three Streak SRM-2s in the left torso in place of the SRM-6, and it has, what, 50 rounds of ammunition? So it has a decent amount of ammunition for what it is. The maximum heat this thing can put out, if firing everything, front and rear weapons, because it has two rear-mounted medium lasers, so if you circle behind it, it's got a shot on you. Everything on this mech, if you fire it all at once and run, you produce 40 heat. It can dissipate 32 heat. So your standard shots at long range are going to be the two PPCs. That's 20 heat. You can have an engine hit. You can have two engine hits and keep firing the PPCs, and you're not going to get cooked. Well, you get cooked a little while in, but you can stagger fire them and you'd still be good. This is an awesome Battlemaster. It is just wonderful. I love it. I really wish I had a record sheet for it. I would love to take this into like a normal, like, hey, let's play 15,000 point BV, you know, team switching, which is something that we do down in Richmond, Lords of the Battlefield. They run something like that. Awesome game. I love playing it. I just don't get down to Richmond anymore because I live like 2.5 hours from the thing, but I gotta start doing that again when I can. So anyway, the Battlemaster Hellslinger, beautiful, beautiful machine. And I absolutely love it. I wish I had a record sheet for this that was legal. I mean, I have it in Solaris Skunkworks, but I just don't have it to use. So the last one we're gonna cover is the Mackie. Yeah, you heard that right. The Mackie, the first battle mech, the biggest when it came out. Biggest for a while, actually. The hegemony went bigger, or went home on that one. So let's go ahead and pull that up, and let's talk a tiny bit about it. Okay, so this is the MSK-9HKR, Kilroy's little buddy. I find it kind of funny. I've actually painted this up as a prize mech before with the smiley face on the cockpit. It has 19 tons of armor. It's a 100 ton machine, moves 3.5, so you're not going to win any races in this thing, but it swaps out the autocannon 20 for two LB 10 X's, and it moves the ammunition to the two side torsos, 2 tons of ammo per gun, and it has 2 PPCs in the left arm. It's not the best machine ever, but it is fun, and it is scary. This is like, you just don't want to deal with it. Where that one Hammer Hands was interesting, this is just, you know, short of it having an LB-20X, which they just didn't have in the Star League era, this is scary. This is really, really scary when you think about it. And the fact that it's just so the PPCs act like your hole puncher, and then you have these two LB-10Xs just crit seek all day long. And with 20 rounds of ammunition each, you can carry a ton of slug and a ton of cluster for each one, letting you use them as hole punchers as well, or even all have 2 PPCs in LB-10 hole punching and the other one crit seeking. It's awesome. Of course, you have the 2 medium lasers as well in the center torso, the magic Mackie crotch guns, which, you know, they think the First Lord was compensating for something with that, but hey, you know, it's just the way that they are. It's boys with their toys, right? But yeah, so Kilroy's little buddy, good design. I think the two jewels in this error report as far as mechs were the CRB-27 SL Crab and the Hellslinger Battlemaster. Now, I'm not going to cover all their Alpha Strike stats. Obviously, you can go on Master Unit List, find those. The Crab, super, super, super awesome little mech in Alpha Strike. I haven't looked at some of the other ones yet. I plan on it, especially that Karita Warhammer. That looks fun. And I know Solaris Skunkworks, it does a decent job of translating. And I want to say it gives it a short medium of like 5.42 or something like that, which makes it hit pretty decent for a 2750 Intersphere mech. So, you know, that's about it for what we're going to talk about today. You've listened to me prattle on about mech designs for 27 minutes at this point, and if you've made it this far, I really appreciate it. So I want to talk about some other stuff, other developments. First of all, on my commission, the Davians, Steel Vipers. Steel Viper, Alpha and Beta Galaxy, Davian Heavy Guards, and the Deneb Light Cavalry, all done on their way to their owner. He also got a 4-mech lance of Ninja Turtle Urban Mechs, and there was also some Tiger Stripe Camo SRM and LRM carriers that I don't know if he 3D printed or had someone 3D print for him, but all that came out awesome. It is on its way to him right now. I really hope he enjoys it. I've started working on a 8-mech commission for the Eridani Light Horse for a previous client. That should be done in the next couple days. And also, I have a giant commission for a game called Polyversal. And it's the models are from all these different companies. They're from Brigade, from Hawk. I'm really tempted to look into the system, but I've heard it's on a Kickstarter, and I heard that things might have not gone so well with that. So hopefully I can look it up, because yeah, I'm sitting here painting these things looking to make some money, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, these look really interesting. I think I want to buy some, which is the worst thing a commission painter can do. Like, oh yeah, this is awesome, let me buy some. But hey, it's, you know, it just is what it is with that. Also, the other thing I wanted to say, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. Facebook. I have a Facebook group for the podcast. So, the group is Unicorn Company, a Battletech podcast. I will try to make sure there's a link in the show notes. Also, I will have some pictures up of the Ninja Turtles and of the commissions that I finished up recently. And I want to hear your thoughts. Are there any mechs that I missed? Is there anything that I left out as far as lost battle mechs? Things that we need record sheets for and we just don't have. If anyone's listening at Catalyst, please, I would totally love to have some record sheets for these mechs and anything else that we have floating around in the universe that we have described, but we've just never seen the sheets for and we can't put on the tabletop, even though they sound absolutely awesome. Okay, so this is Carrie. I hope you all have a great day, great evening, great whatever it is where you are. I'm signing off from Unicorn Company. Good night.